on maynard.com.au. Hey, you! Coming to you live from the exciting Glebe Point Road Fru Fru Cafe, it's Mr. Tim Ferguson.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and all the times in between.
My name's Maynard. We've got it all here. We've got dogs, we've got screaming babies, we've got pouting waiters.
Pout, you fool!
It's the show you thought would never have a second episode. Bunga bunga.
Bunga bunga. If you don't know the joke, look it up.
I still don't know it. In fact, we've been accused of plagiarism three times. And we have a lot of stuff for the show today. In fact, we've actually asked you on Facebook and Twitter, add to the show, because we haven't got a lot. First, Mr. Ferguson, what have you been up to?
I've been rehearsing with Mr. Paul McDermott and Mr. Paul Flacco Livingston, because we're going to do some live shows, and that's exciting. And also, I've been preparing for the Sydney Writers Festival, which is going to be a fascinating time. I spent a week in Melbourne. Is that even possible? I spent a whole week in Melbourne and it was raining the whole time, which for Melbourne is strange because normally Melbourne's weather is consistently inconsistent.
Get a chance to pay a visit to Polyester Records or any of the great sci-fi shops there?
Oh, I went straight to Polyester, just looked at the records. I don't touch them. Most of them aren't worth playing, but certainly they look good.
What is the great sci-fi shop in the middle of town in Melbourne? The one that's got just everything?
Yeah.
Minotaur.
Minotaur. Yeah, and it's downstairs, so I don't go there anymore. It's an awesome shop where everything's priced correctly if you own the place.
Back in the day when you wanted to get your Buffy and the Vampire Slayer merch or your Charmed merchandise?
If you wanted to buy Starship Enterprise, as I did once, then you really have to go down and you might as well be naked because it's just going to be a ravishing price.
I got a triple DVD of Laugh-In. The second season of Laugh-In. I've got the entire season of Laugh-In. And watching it back, the 60s show, Rowan and Martin, I believe it was, it doesn't quite translate that well into the 21st century, but it's still worth watching.
Oh, it was like a whole bunch of 1960s kids got together, took acid and said, let's put on a show. And Goldie Hawn was there to say, look at these.
Stay tuned, I'll show you my flounder.
Now or they won't stay tuned.
There should be a show just like Laugh-In now where people are poking their heads outside of windows and just saying stupid gags.
Of course, we might apologise for any extraneous noise that turns up, but here at the Fru Fru, anything can happen. And we thank the milk crate, not the milk crate, the record crate, but you do put your records in the milk crate, so that's why I said that. For our last Bunga Bunga appearance there, we certainly mucked up their place, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we left it a steaming ruin. We're going to leave it a smoking ruin, but we want to go back.
I will think we should get going. Let's open the crank mail right now.
Crank mail, crank mail, crank mail.
With that lovely sound of the rhino peeing in the bottle at the end. And you didn't think I had that sound, but I've got it.
It's hard to train rhinos to pee on command.
They're great with it. Who we got a communication from first?
We have a communication from one of my favourite people, Daryl Adams. Daryl is a 19-year-old crazy kid with a lot of love in his heart.
And he's always busting our chops, but I think it comes from a place of love.
He busts our chops. He was the person who said we'd stolen from Virginia Woolf. I was under the impression everybody has to steal from Virginia Woolf because she was so prolific.
We only steal from members of the Blue Stocking Society. She was a member of that.
Daryl asks, after asking why and why not, I am left to ask, why now?
I can only assume, Daryl, that you were not a fan of the first show.
Yeah, Daryl, you got it. Yank me at the show just one more time. Why now? Well, really, the answer to that question is, if not us, then who? And don't say anybody.
I got a question here from Marianne, who writes, I've heard that ghosts can only travel in straight lines and they can't jump. I know with Feng Shui, there's usually a mirror or something, and so the evil can't turn and get into your house, so you put something there. Well, what have you heard about ghosts and their physical ability?
I do know that they cannot jump. They won't jump. They refuse to jump.
So actually recalcitrant, that's their problem.
After a lifetime of jumping, you don't want to spend the afterworld being asked repeatedly, come on, jump over that. If you can walk through walls, why would you want to jump?
a tip of the hat to Jessica Adams and also to one of my favourite podcasts, Mysterious Universe. They're always dealing with these kind of things, and they talk about what is possible or what people say is possible in the other realm, afterlife. And there seem to be a set of rules that are a bit grey there.
One is ghostgasms. Do they happen? I mean, I don't want to be finding myself in the afterworld where there is no orgasm. There is no point in being alive without orgasms and daytime TV. I want both of those in the afterworld.
I heard that corgasm was being chatted about this week. Corgasm, that's when a woman has a great time exercising. She has a corgasm.
That is entirely possible. There are some exercise machines, you know, the Thighmaster.
The ones that keep your legs apart and you've got to squeeze them together. Not very popular in Newcastle.
Well, that's... I have heard that that will give you a corgasm, which for ladies is fine, but for guys, you know, we can't be changing our pants all day.
We've got a question here from Posty Lindley in Melbourne. She works the inner city beat of in the inner western suburbs of Melbourne. Posty Lindley writes, could you describe your letterbox, Tim? Because she can tell a lot about a person and a family from the kind of letterbox they have.
My letterbox is pristine. It's like it was designed by a Finnish anally retentive Virgo male. It's so clean, even IKEA workers walk past it and they stop and they marvel at it.
I also believe that Steve Jobs was a bit of a fan of it. He thought it was from more like the Copenhagen school of design.
Well, yeah, Copenhagen with a little bit of Memphis thrown in. Of course, my letterbox...
Does it even bother with a number?
It does bother with a number. The number is 1, which is confusing because it's not my address, but I'm not going to mess up my letterbox.
I've got a tweet here from Andrew Ragg. He wants to know, are you into fraikus, which is the writing of a haiku on Friday, which, as we tape this, is this very day?
To write a fraiku, one must first examine oneself before... reading once.
Well, there's your answer to that, Andrew, whatever that means.
What about your letterbox, Maynard? What's your letterbox like?
Well, I've got two kinds, because we've got Maynard International Studios and we've got the Maynard Summer Palace, which is around the corner here. The Maynard Summer Palace would be your a classic. Actually, it's almost identical to your letterbox, and I can see across the road. It's the same as your letterbox, except while yours is from the Copenhagen School, mine is from the Wickham School. There's a lot of graffiti on it, but you can see the number. We should get a snail mail address sometime so people can actually write us an actual letter, because back in the day when the Doug Anthonys, you used to get all sorts of wild mail. You'd bring it into the breakfast show and we'd read it out, and people would, again, take the challenge that they'd try and do drawings like Paul and you used to encourage.
Not only that, but we would get pornographic mail.
Don't forget the time you got the mummified dead cat.
A mummified dead cat. Every rock and roll comedy group wants one of those. We did get a mummified red cat, and we were feeling generous, so we gave it away.
Yeah, that was an Enmore gig. What else were you going to do with it, really?
Well, you just ask, does anyone want the dead cat? And all these people go, me. So there was a gift giving of the dead cat, just simply because nobody...
Here we go. We have E, and he's off. He looked pretty cool until his shirt blew up at the back as he drove along, and he looked like a badly caped superhero.
Well, that's one amateur short filmmaker who's really going to cut a very fine line down Glee Point Road. Where'd you get money for that? Mum.
Thank you very much, everyone who contributed to Crank Mail. Because this show is a work in progress, we still don't know what it's about yet, but we appreciate it. Let's close the Crank Mail segment.
Crank Mail! Crank!
Oh, hang on. We got some late Crank Mail.
Here we go. This is from Lisa Hunter. And she says, you know that thing when you have a song in your head and someone comes in singing the exact line you're singing in your head? It's a phenomenon. But does it have a name?
So we're looking for something that's a musical coincidence.
Yeah, I'm thinking songindipity might be what we'd call it.
Songindipity.
Yeah, or song incidents.
And it can happen a bit, because often people might be listening to the same radio station on the way to the work, maybe even the same podcast at the same spot. All that sort of stuff can happen, which gets us into our musical section here. And I've got to say, we've had absolutely no correspondence whatsoever about the music. So I can only assume people hated it.
One thing we do like is this music sting.
Tim knows that I have over 500 stings, so it doesn't matter what we've got. It goes off, doesn't it, Tim?
We could always try this one. Or this one.
And the beat goes on.
Here's Tim creating a very late night of editing for me at home, but I love it. You know, it gives me something to do. Now, I've got four CDs here. Last week, we had a bit of controversy because we had the Italian version of Ringo, which, if you knew Italian, was pretty meaningful. That's, of course, based on the original Lorne Greene version, but I'd just like a little bit of a moment here. Let's share a moment with Lorne Greene, just briefly, as he actually sings the theme to Bonanza. There were words written to the theme from Bonanza, so here's just a little bit of it now.
We chased Lady Luck till we finally struck Bonanza. With a gun and a rope and a hat full of hope, we planted our family tree. We got a hold of a pot full of gold Bonanza. With a horse and a saddle and a ring full of cattle, how rich can a fella be? On this land we put our brand, our trite is the name. Fortune smiled the day we piled the Ponderosa claim. Here in the West, we're living in the best Bonanza.
And I'll agree that we probably shouldn't play all of that. Tim, let's just go to the CD here. I'm holding up for Tim. Reasons to be Cheerful, Volume 4, a collection of 40 songs to make you happy, all from the 80s. Would you like to have a look there, Tim, and see what you might want to go with that? I've sprung this on Tim. He has not seen this previous to this moment.
Oh, I think we have to go with Uptight, Everything's All Right, by Human Nature. That's rock.
You can feel the soul from those guys, can't you?
Oh, you can just feel it pulsing, pumping through.
You know that at some time in their past, they've all been put down by the man.
Oh, yeah, headmasters can really be very hard.
The gritty realism there of Human Nature, chosen by Tim Ferguson, who will be appearing at the Harold Park Hotel on the 10th and 11th of June, but don't try to get a ticket for the Doug Anthony All-Stars gig in Sydney because it's only got a capacity of 400, those two gigs, and they're all sold, aren't they?
Also, they sold out straight away. You know, that's the power of social media and losers.
Have you actually written the material yet?
There will be no written material. That would involve sitting in a room with Paul McDermott and Paul Livingston for more than half an hour, which I couldn't bear, and I know they wouldn't like it.
And again, the obvious question is everyone's going, why isn't Richard there? And I think we've gone through this here before in that he's got a job where the other three of you haven't, and he can't really make it to these gigs, and you know, and he's very happy with that, and so are you.
And Richard's been very clear, he doesn't want to relive the past. Man, the past is all I've got.
And you've got one hell of a letterbox.
Oh, I got a really clean, shiny letterbox.
By the way, now, the two of us are working the hell out of our audience, which is a small dog.
Yeah, that got his attention.
Let's go into a segment here where I bring random books from the Maynard Archives along, and Tim has a look through it. This book is called Unsold TV Pilots by Lee Goldberg. It's an 80s book, I believe, and it's full of TV pilots that were pitched to networks or people have written. I don't actually know where they got it all from. He must be an agent. He's an agent that compiled all these things that were put to him, I guess. And you've been digging through there, and have we got some old unsold TV pilots that you know why they weren't sold or you think should have gone ahead? Tim's attention was brought immediately to the Tom Selleck project. Now, what were they trying to get the star of Magnum PI to do?
This was beautiful. It's a 60-minute show for NBC. It was made in 1979. It aired as Nice Guys Finish Dead. It was an episode of The Rockford Files. Tom Selleck stars as a mediocre private eye, Lance White, who does everything wrong but still gets more glory. Lance White is a spoof of Mannix, I remember seeing Mannix when I was a kid, and it scared me because Mannix was just, you know, shooting everybody. And he's the epitome of the private eye cliche the Rocket Files set out to debunk. It wasn't picked up simply because of, well, everything I just said.
But the Rocket Files was a great show. I remember one episode where he had his trailer blown up and all these really bad things happened to him.
Some episode, that one where the whole caravan blows up. Those bad guys were serious, and there was that wonderful, oh no, I can't get anything right about the Rockford File.
And his answering machine message at the beginning of every show.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
It's Andra. Remember last summer at Pat's? I've got a 12-hour layover before I go to Chicago. How about it?
I'll use this as a segue to point out that one of my favourite pilots that was filmed and never got picked up was Look Well, starring Adam West. The Saturday Night Live producers did it. It was written by the guy who writes Triumph Insult Comic Dog and produced by Conan O'Brien. And Look Well would have been a great... It was all about this guy who used to be a TV detective. That was many years ago, but he still believes that he's actually a detective and he's a little bit disturbed. And he talks to a statue of Shakespeare and solves crimes. And in his spare time, he has acting classes. And he misquotes Shakespeare all the time.
Aren't you Ty Look Well?
Yes. But until this audition's over, I prefer to be addressed as Buzz McCool.
Well, it's nice to meet you. You know, I remember Banachek. That was a great show.
No, I wasn't Banachek. That was George Peppard. I was Bannigan.
Brannigan?
No, that was Hugh O'Brien. I was Bannigan.
Oh, right, right. You had the black secretary.
No, that was Mannix. I had a sheepdog.
Right.
Adam West in that role. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Adam West.
Yeah. So Look Well. Look it up online. It's a great show. I think it's time for your official reply to the Abbott budget that was handed down in Australia this week. Tim, how do you come across? Well, people are saying it's a big win for the neocons and even the libertarians. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's neither. I was saying to the gorgeous, glamorous and brilliant Christine Keneally yesterday, former Premier of New South Wales, and she was saying, oh, it's terrible and we're all worried about what this budget's doing. And I said, have no fear, Christina. Have no fear. We have not been lied to by the Prime Minister. We have not been lied to by Geoffrey Hockey, the brother of Joe Hockey. We've not been lied to by... Who's that Billy Bunting guy with the hair that's like... sort of like frizz, but it's pubes? Christopher. We have not been lied to by these people because they have made no cuts to education, no cuts to health, no cuts to pensions, and no cut... Oh, hang on, I'm mispronouncing one of these words. Yes, they have tinkered with education. They have tweaked funding for health, and they have added nuance to pensions by cutting them in half, or, as in the case of the educational budget, removing a tiny $80 billion.
What do you think of Bill Shorten's foray into insult humour with the Foghorn Leghorn name of Joe Hockey, our treasurer? What do you think of that? Do you think it's a good first joke?
Foghorn Leghorn, it's okay, but I think Chief Wiggum is a good one. I think people should stick to contemporary references, considering you've got Christopher Pyne, who has to be Smithers. He's got to be Smithers. What did Aaron Sorkin say? You know, he's not the devil, he's the guy who goes down to the shops to buy the devil a pack of cigarettes. And then, of course, you've got Miss Krabapple, Tony Abbott, capable of anything.
As I read with the Foghorn Leghorn reference, you have got It's Abbott Season. So you can do that joke.
The Foghorn Leghorn reference will work for anybody under 60. But otherwise, I'd suggest just stick to The Simpsons or maybe start using Big Bang Theory references.
Aren't every political party's first budgets harsh?
Oh, they're always harsh in the first round, simply because that's the only time they can get away with it. And they're squirreling away their nuts for the next election so they can say, whoa, here's a pile of money we found because of our own prudence, and now we can blow it on things that we pretended we didn't care about.
You personally, working within disabilities, is there something that was going to change with you? I mean, you're going to have to pay $7 when you go to the doctors now, I assume. Would that be true?
Oh, I will just refuse. The beauty is, I will go to the doctor, I'll use a wheelchair, because, you know, I've got one. It's very hard to stop someone in a wheelchair, particularly if they're going downhill fast. If I do get stopped, I will just use little puppy eyes. The idea of nickel and diming everybody, of turning Medibank upside down for, what is it, $6 a visit? It's just nuts. No, $7 a visit. $2 goes to the doctor, $5 goes into medical research, which every other country in the world is doing. I don't know why we just don't spend it on foreign aid.
The ABC's been cut 1% a year. Seems like a pretty lame cut. I mean, in real terms, that'll probably be about 2 or 3%, I guess, depending on what inflation is. But why would you even bother doing that? That sounds just a touch merely political being nastiness.
Oh, yeah, we could get rid of the ABC news department, for example. Nobody would know the difference because it's nowhere near as good as the SBS news department and usually mirrors whatever you could see on Channel 9. So I'd get rid of the news department, which is only a few bucks and a couple of people who work there. Then we could all move on and make more sport. ABC commentators watching football. It's hilarious.
Let's go with another track here, and I think I'll pop this one on Tim again. This is from an album called Songs of Couch and Consultation, sung by Katie Lee. Mm-hmm. It's about psychoanalysis in the, looks like the late 60s, and I'd like you to choose a track based on the issue that Katie thought was important at the time. Tim?
Songs about psychoanalysis.
And a quote from Katie Lee, she said, "My agent couldn't decide if I was a singer, an actress, a musician, a duck, a pig, or a chicken." We've all had agents like that, haven't we, Tim?
I have a song from this fantastic album. It's called Little Willie in the Well.
1956.
Little Willie, full of hell, pushed his sister in the well. His mother said while drawing water, "Gee, it's hard to raise a daughter."
Katie Lee, Songs of Couch and Consultation. Little Willie there. There could be a subtext. I don't know. I didn't quite get what she was on about there.
I'm not sure. It's a metaphor for something. I think it's about keep your money in the bank.
Tim, you were saying you like to have happy songs in the morning. I listen to lots of podcasts, as we know. I mentioned Mysterious Universe. I like No Agenda. I like the Dub Down Atheist podcast. God, Skeptic Zone, heaps of things. And they're good in the morning. But this week I tried Underground 80s, which is the station that comes on Soma FM, the south of Market Street in San Francisco. And they're 80s. And I put it on. And what did I get? I got some Human League first up. Fascination, the song Fascination from the Human League. And that got me going.
Oh, yeah. You've got to have happy music in the morning. I used to wake up with Leonard Cohen, The Dark Years, and, you know, you set your program for the day with that stuff.
Like you wouldn't even be able to get back to bed with Leonard Cohen. You'd just make it halfway down the hallway and just fall on the ground if you started your day with some Leonard.
One morning I put on Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, and for the rest of the day I had that tune in my head, which was maddening, but it did mean that my pants just felt tighter.
Getting back to your gig you're going to be doing with the Doug Anthonys, because I'm sure a lot of people want some inside running on that. It really is pretty free form at this stage, and you said it's a warm-up show. A warm-up for what?
Well, it's a warm-up for a world tour. We're thinking of going to Britain because people are starting to say come back. Maybe go up and down America just because, you know, we need the weight loss program.
Hang on. I specifically remember interviewing Paul McDermott, and you guys had an agent abusing you in a lift because of the Dead Elvis song, saying you guys will never work in this country again. He may still be alive.
He will be alive, and he'll be following us. We'll be easier to catch this time. Yes, we'll be touring around. I mean, just hodgepodge a little bit here, a little bit there, just a bit of fun. The main thing is just to get the guys out of the house. I'm the only one who really leaves the house.
Paul, you've got a wheelchair.
Well, yeah, Paul McDermott lives in what could only be described as a castle. So he's got this castle. We've got to get him out of the castle. He says, "I am outside," but it's within the grounds.
Oh, yeah, because he does all his artistic work downstairs, underneath the kitchen in the basement, which technically is out of the house, but you're still in the basement of your own house. And he has admitted to me he does no yard work whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, no yard work. So the garden is allowed to just flourish as nature does. I like to get him out of the house, you know, every once in a while, put him in his scooter and just wheel him down the street.
And I could interrupt that, and I wouldn't want that.
Maynard, you don't ever have to worry about interrupting the process of Livingston and McDermott simply because it looks like there's something going on. But there's nothing going on. Those guys, you know, what are they doing? Writing a joke? Which, you know, that doesn't take too much concentration. As much as possible, their process needs to be interrupted. They are geniuses, but that doesn't mean it's all good.
Now it's time to take a visit to Professor Ferguson's house and run a historical hypothetical past you. Tim, you're in a political party with your trusted friend Heinrich for many, many years, and you find out that your trusted friend Heinrich has been secretly negotiating a separate peace with the Americans. How does that make you feel? Just a hypothetical.
Angry.
Do you postpone your upcoming wedding?
No. I will get married just to spite him. I mean, the whole city is collapsing around us. And Heinrich goes and tries to sell us all out. Oh, well, thanks, Heinrich. Yeah, thanks for being my best friend. Not.
Does it change your plans? Do you think it may be escaping through the underground tunnels and going west?
Yeah, I would be considering that, but it would change my plans. I would come up with a more short-term suicide plan, I think would be best.
And yeah, but most of them are pretty short-term, really.
Oh, and
unless you're going to plan to maybe not do as much exercise, take up smoking, that would be a long-term plan.
I would just say, that's it. Yeah, Heinrich, you are out. You're out, Heinrich. You are aus.
Look, is there anything you want to bring up before we finish up here, Tim? I've got a killer track from Tom Jones Live to finish with. Got something? You got anything? Is something? What's been getting on your goat?
The thing that's really been getting on my goat is vegans. I know I shouldn't pick on them, and I know everybody does because they're ridiculous and they're so easy to kick because they're not allowed to kick back. Vegans do annoy me, and I see them on Twitter. They're always using the same word, which is. Now, only Skippy knows what they're talking about, but I am inferring from that it's something about occasionally going out and having a burger. And I will not be told by some gun-nut-sucking anti-vaccination dweeb who knits their own hats out of straw what to eat. Apart from that, you know, I think vegans are great, and some of them are really good in bed because they really try. They keep it organic. They're so keen on keeping it real.
And on that awkward note, let's go out with Tom Jones live in London from 1967, live at the Talk of the Town, live in London, his version of Land of a Thousand Dances. It is a killer. Let's go out with that. Of course, if you want to contact us here at Bunga Bunga, this occasional series going nowhere fast, you can contact Tim Ferguson, care of his Facebook page, me, care of Maynard, or you can just email us at maynard@maynard.com.au. Tweet us. What's your Twitter, Tim?
At with Tim Ferguson, W-I-T-H, Tim Ferguson, one word, why have two?
And mine's at maynard.com.au with all the things missing, so it's Maynard Comow, which means some people think that my surname's Comow. And in fact, Maynard is a mononym, which I like saying, except it's really pretentious. Maynard? No, it's a mononym.
What is a mononym?
You only have one name, like Madonna or cheese. Tim, it's been great chatting with you again. Once when we meet in a cafe in Glebe, we will meet shortly. And I'll give the last word to you because you've usually got something funny, but then again, sometimes you don't.
Straighten up, fly right, particularly if you're a pilot.
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Jones with Maynard across Australia. Maynard, cop hold of this.
We're going to do a little song, and I want everybody to join in with me. It's a simple song. Here we go, baby. The song. So why don't you all join in? Go something like this. Now we're gonna do the song one more time. Same thing as before. It's quite simple. Here we go.
Maynard.com.au. Hey, you!